What's more valuable to you, your eyesight or your child's life? Find out how our guest today answered that question next on Gospel of Life. Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Father Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. We speak on these programs about the precious dignity of life, about the fact that nothing we possess and none of our rights is more basic and fundamental than life itself. We speak on this program about the love and generosity that parents are called to have toward their children and that all of us are called to have towards each other. Because God truly entrusts our lives to one another. Well, brothers and sisters, today we have a special guest, Gail McWilliams, who by her own life experience, sacrifice, and generosity shows forth this Spirit of God that forms the foundation of the culture of life. She's going to share with us her powerful testimony. But before we meet her personally here in the studio, I'd like you to watch a clip that is part of a video that she and her family make available and that tells the story of what she sacrificed in order to say yes to life. Let's watch this video of Gail McWilliams and her family.
When I was a young girl, the doctor said that I would probably never have any children. I had a childhood disease, which I got at 9 years of age. And so in my teens, a doctor felt like it was important for him to plot out my life. And with that verdict, he said I would never have any children. So when I married, imagine the pain of the conflict, because my husband and I wanted children. We knew that children were like arrows in the hands of a mighty warrior. We knew they were gifts from the Lord, and we desired that very much. We desired a family. We desired to be able to share from generation to generation the goodness of God.
As I considered the idea of being a father, especially in those young years, I was really excited about having children because I remembered those days when I was praying and saying, God, give us children.
Our firstborn was Anna. When I was born with 7 major complications, and the doctors were getting ready to write out my death certificate because they just saw no hope that I would recover. She was transported from the town we lived in Illinois, to the capital of Illinois to put her in a high-risk unit. And there in the ambulance, she died. They were able to revive her, but for 21 days, we struggled to see if she would live or not.
I just stood there, just watched and prayed and asked God to show mercy to our family and to that little baby.
And after 21 days, she was released from the hospital with the doctor saying that she was fine. Something happened in the course of the pregnancy with Anna. And later it became evident that this would be the pattern for all of the children. Because every time I was pregnant, my eyes would hemorrhage. And little by little, I would lose eyesight with each pregnancy. And my parents went through so much just fighting for my life, a 3-week battle and in the high-risk unit, working with the doctors, encouraging them to even just feed me. And just because of that, I saw their dedication, their determination, and they could have just said, you know, that's it. We've gone through too much. We're going to stop right now. We won't have any more children. So 3.5 years later, imagine our surprise when the doctor said, yes, indeed, we were pregnant again. And the doctors came in one day and said, you have to choose today between your baby or your eyes. I said, the choice is made. I choose my baby.
I can't imagine not having an opportunity to live and to soak up life and to experience all that it has with its ups and downs. But it's all worth it. It's all worth it in the end.
The challenge of being the third born is being blamed for everything. The joy of being the third born is to blame it on others.
We had the 3 older girls first, and what a joy to have this trio at home. We used to call it our own sorority. And I felt sorry for Tony living among all those girls. And then we had a 9-year gap, and God blessed us with 2 more children, Lydia and Connor. It's really been fun. Part of the gifts that our family brings to the world that I think are unique is that the girls sing with me.
Children don't get weary.
When we moved to the Dallas area in the year 2000, after living here 9 weeks, we were voted one of the top 10 new Christian vocalists for all of the Metroplex. And we were part of a huge concert at Will Rogers Coliseum.
Hearing my mother's story is just, it's always encouraging because it's the determination of someone who, despite circumstances, did what she knew was right.
When I hear my mom's story, I am grateful to hear, first of all, that she chose life. And it's sobering to think that if she didn't choose me, she didn't choose the ones that were after me, which was Holly and Lydia and Connor.
It's something to rejoice over, and yet we know that it's a struggle for daily life, to daily choose life. To not focus so much on what was taken away, but what was given.
I know I was born for a purpose and for a reason. I love the fact that my mom chose life.
My mom was courageous to lose her eyesight and brave enough to have her children.
In light of the many struggles that we had, I would have to say, without a doubt, I would do it all over again.
I tell people that my eyesight is temporarily impaired, while my vision is keen, because I am a woman of hope.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's my pleasure to introduce now to you Gail, who is with us in the studio, along with our associate director, Janet Morana. Welcome to you both.
Hello, Father. Hi, Janet.
Hi.
Thanks for coming to be with us today, and certainly our viewers are already inspired by that clip that that we shared. So thank you for sharing it.
Thank you for having me today to tell our story.
Well, you know, Gail, with our pro-life work, we meet many times women, especially I do with women who talk about the regret of having had an abortion, how they were counseled by a doctor, whatever the medical reason was, that they needed to have an abortion to save their lives or to save some part of their health. And then, of course, they later come to regret it. You were faced with that decision. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about you and the doctor?
Yes. The day the doctor came in and told me that I had to choose that day between my baby or my eyes, I said, the choice is made. I keep my baby. I was already pregnant and in the middle of our term with having this baby. And when the doctor heard my decision, he stood up, slammed shut my folder and said, what a foolish decision, and left the room. When he left the room, I knew I had made one of the greatest decisions of my life. And I wasn't quite certain where it would lead me. I didn't know the different bumps and turns and also the different levels of darkness. But I did know this, that I'd made the right decision. Mm-hmm. And as I sat there by myself, I remembered a verse that I'd memorized when I was a little girl. And it was out of Deuteronomy. And it said, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life that you and your descendants may live. I knew the giver of life stood with me that day, and I was not alone.
That's beautiful how you describe that. There wasn't a period of hesitation after he asked you that question. There wasn't some kind of calculus. It wasn't like, well, doctor, that's a very big question. You don't expect me to answer that right away, do you? Let me stop and figure it out for a while. You already had the answer because you had already made a choice, hadn't you?
I had. You know, the giver of life gives all good things, and children are gifts from the Lord. I already knew that. And so I had already determined that my choice was life long before I came to this crossroads of crisis. And for me, life isn't just a movement and it's not just a campaign. It's a lifestyle.
Yes.
Of choosing life every day.
Yes.
And so this situation was just like that. Now, when I came into the darker places where I kept losing gradually more and more eyesight with each baby, I still never regretted my decision. What I asked for, the challenge became, Lord, I need your grace to get through this and to enjoy the life you've given.
You know, there are significant examples in history. St. Gianamola, for example, the physician who actually sacrificed her life for her baby and her final pregnancy. We've talked about her on this program, and others who have made
particular, very large sacrifices for the sake of their child. But with you, this was a sustained choice over multiple pregnancies, which shows even more brightly the love of God shining through your decisions.
Well, in all due respect, I appreciate the medical profession. I appreciate all their expertise, and I would probably not be here today without their tools. But what do we know about them? They're practicing medicine.
Yes.
And earlier they had told me that I would probably never have any children. Well, we have 5 children. We know that that was wrong. And yes, I did go on to lose my eyesight, but eyesight, Father, is not vision. When you have a vision for life, the decisions are very clear.
Yes.
And as all I can say, people can say, well, you're such a courageous woman. Well, God has given me the courage, and he's given me the joy in the midst of it. And so many times we're living life, if it only benefits us, we're living in this MySpace generation.
Mm-hmm.
If it's just convenient for me or if it won't cost too much. But see, I'd already determined when I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I gave away my life then.
Praise God.
And that's what makes the difference, having a vision for life and then enjoying all of it.
Yes, exactly.
You know, I just wanted to know, Gail, like you said, the decision when the doctor slammed the folder, that was your second pregnancy? The second child?
Mm-hmm.
And then, so therefore, each pregnancy thereafter, did you have to face a doctor again saying, well, now you're going to lose more of your eyesight and you should terminate this pregnancy? In other words, did that question keep being prodded with each subsequent pregnancy?
Always. And after our third born child, Holly, they said, quit having children. Stop this.
Mm.
And so we took permanent measures to do that because we felt like the doctors knew and were insistent on what we did. But you know what? For the next 8 years, there was this growing desire still within us. And God opened the doors using doctors. And we went to the doctors. We said, will you work with us? Our heart is still for more children.
Yes.
And they said, yes, we'll work with you. So medically, we reversed the decisions that we'd made earlier. And then God gave us 2 incredible children. So we have 4 daughters, and our last is a boy.
Isn't that great? Yeah. So great to see them on that video. Well, we're going to take a little break, and then we're going to come back and let you continue to share your inspiring testimony today. So brothers and sisters, please stay with us on Gospel of Life.
There's nothing wrong with your television set. You don't see anything because there's nothing there. Abortion, the most common surgery in America. Why don't we ever see what it looks like? A message from Priests for Life.
When I found out I was pregnant, I thought I would lose my job.
My boyfriend told me to choose between him and the baby.
I worried about staying in school.
I was already struggling to care for one child.
My parents told me I wasn't ready to be a mom, so I had an abortion.
I had physical problems afterwards.
I went from relationship to relationship.
I hated myself.
I started to have nightmares.
I cried when I saw a pregnant woman.
I tried to commit suicide.
Couldn't bond with the child I later had.
I tried to numb my pain with alcohol.
I struggled with depression.
I had trouble conceiving again.
You see, abortion didn't solve our problems.
It just created different ones.
Each of us thought we were the only ones struggling afterward.
Now we realize many women regret their choice.
That's why we are silent no more.
We found help in healing, and you can too. Call or go online today.
Now you can make a difference in the lives of the unborn for as little as $12. Make your donation today, and we'll send you a copy of the pro-life masterpiece, Earth's Trash, Heaven's Treasure. Vivid imagery and striking colors come together in a painting that captures the essence of eternal hope for the unborn. You'll help change the hearts and lives of people everywhere. Plus, you'll have a treasured piece of artwork that serves as a daily reminder of the beauty of precious living souls. Make your donation today.
Well, welcome back. We're with our special guest today, Gail McWilliams, who is sharing with us the story of how God's love shaped her life, and she sacrificed her eyesight for the sake of her beautiful children. And Gail, tell us a little bit about your husband.
My husband is Tony. He's an incredible anchor. We've been married for over 30 years. And, you know, when my eyesight first began to be affected by pregnancies, I didn't know I was pregnant at the time. And it was on Christmas Day that I actually lost my eyesight.
Mm.
And I remember a time of just wondering, you know, will we be able to make it? And all of those fears that collide with each other. And he held me in his arms and he said, "This is not a season to retreat." And I've always thought of those words through every turn of the road, because I believe that we're living in a day, if we just sit down and we retreat and we do nothing, then it seems like we have lost the battle for life. All of us have to fight for something. All of us need to see something beyond the immediate crisis or beyond the darkness.
Yes.
And that is really the message of hope that I hope that people hear today, Father, that no matter where you are in your life, that you see beyond the crisis.
Yes.
See, I get to talk to people all the time that I really believe are blind, not me. Eyesight only sees the temporal. But when you have vision, you can see even in the darkest places of life.
Exactly.
And I also see one more thing. Children aren't just inconveniences and the reason I lost my eyesight. No, I got to be part of something that will impact generations yet to come.
It's beautiful. You know, Gail, I remember you told me a story that there's something you keep in your pocketbook, and it has to do with talking about hope. You want to just tell us quickly about that?
Well, though I've lost my eyesight, I always keep in my purse my car keys. And people could say, "Your car keys? That is crazy. No blind women drive, you know, and not be able to see." But the truth of the matter is, hope is not just about a wishful thought. It's a joyful expectation of that which is good. And I look forward to the day. I don't care if it's through medical means or possibly an intervention of the Lord, however it comes. I look forward to the day that I see again. And so when I see again, I'm going to be ready. Now, Father, I might need your car, if you don't mind, till I can find
mine. To get to yours, right.
But really, what are all of us holding in our hands today that will engage us in hope for the days to come?
And this now, your testimony, your experience, that of your whole family, has become a worldwide ministry, hasn't it?
It has.
Tell us about that.
Well, I wrote a book 2 years ago based on the encouragement of a man by the name of Zig Ziglar, who did the foreword to the book. And he said, "You've got to tell your story to the masses." Well, little did I know what that really meant. I just began to write the story, and it's very transparent, and it's filled with hope, and it'll make you laugh at one moment and cry the next. Well, when the book was released on Mother's Day weekend, in 3 months' time, it was carried to 38 nations.
Praise God.
And now is translated into Spanish, soon to be translated into Japanese,
good.
And then we're going on to other languages.
Well, we look forward to making that book available. And
exactly. And also, too, Gail has her website, and
yes.
I know she goes around speaking at
yes.
pregnancy banquets and all kinds of ministry banquets. And we encourage people to contact us to see how Gail can join them in their community and inspire them.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for being with us today. We will pray for you and your husband and your children, and tell your beautiful children I look forward to meeting them soon.
Thank you. They'll love you.
Yes, thank you. And well, brothers and sisters, doesn't this testimony remind you of John chapter 9, the story of the man born blind, who when he was freed of his physical blindness, really found his vision as he came step by step to the point where he acknowledged Jesus as Lord. Then he saw. And meanwhile, the Pharisees, who were able to see physically from their birth, remained blind because of their stubborn refusal to accept the Savior of the world. Today, inspired by Gail and her family, let us together again accept the one and only Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, and ask him to help us see the infinite value of human life and to lay down our lives for each other as he did for us. Stay with us now. We'll be back with our action segment.
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. In the last 12 years, half of the nation's freestanding abortion clinics have closed, and the abortion industry is on the run. Gospel of Life Ministries has played a vital role in the rescue of countless children and is currently in place to save thousands more. But we urgently need your support to make this happen. Not everyone can be on the front line of this battle, but when you support Gospel of Life, you are saving lives. Your life-saving gift of $25, $50, or $100 will help us provide alternatives to women who think they have no choice but abortion. And for those countless women who have lost children to abortion, Gospel of Life Ministries will help them find forgiveness, healing, and peace in the cross of Christ. and become outspoken advocates for the lives of their unborn children. The help you provide will also bring the saving word of life to churches through a training program that is raising a mass voice that will see abortion stopped. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Hello, friends. Welcome to our action segment. We're going to talk today about the upcoming elections and things that you can do in a practical way to mobilize as many voters as possible. Janet, we all have one vote. We each have one vote, but we can each influence hundreds, even thousands of other votes. Let's talk about how.
Well, the first thing is to make sure that like-minded friends and family are registered to vote. We assume that everyone's registered to vote, but that's certainly not. We know for a fact that we had surveyed our ministry, our membership, people who subscribe to our newsletter, and we found there's a good percentage of them that were just unregistered. So we helped encourage them and get them registered. Well, we can do that the same thing as individuals. Start with your immediate family, then your church family, any groups you belong to, if you're in the church choir or you do a Bible study. It's very easy to get the forms for voter registration. We have them on our website where you can download the forms for your state. Keep them with you in your car, in your briefcase, in your pocketbook, so that if you're having a conversation with a person, you say, oh, by the way, are you prepared to vote in this important election? Are you registered? There's a person who gives you that look like, gee, I don't know if I am. Or I moved since the last election, and I don't know.
I was just going to say that. If you have moved, you should check.
You should check, because you might have to adjust your registration. Well, if you have those forms with you, you can just say to the person, hey, I happen to have a form with me. Here you go, and could you fill it out, and I'll be happy to mail it in for you or whatever. I mean, it's such a simple activity. Pastors and churches can do this. We've had certain Sundays where we declared as voter registration Sunday. Now, you're registering to vote, but you're not registering them to be registered under one party or another party. This is perfectly nonpartisan activity. Any church can do it. So that's the first premise, is make sure people are registered. And let's not forget all the young people that will turn 18 before Election Day in November. You can register to vote now. This way you will be all registered and able to vote. As long as your 18th birthday falls before Election Day, you can fill out those forms today.
And Election Day this year is November the 4th.
That's right. Now, once you know that everyone's registered and you've done that job, now you've got to really get them to do maybe early voting. Okay, or absentee voting. That's another thing to make people aware of, because in many states, voting begins even in September and October. They don't wait till November. And, it's very important. And absentee ballots are very important for business people that travel a lot, people who are homebound or in nursing homes. Get them their absentee ballots, because every vote is going to count.
We have also the obligation to make as known as possible the method by which in each particular state this gets done. Each state has its laws on all the things we've been talking about, voter registration, early voting, and other requirements that are maybe in place. We make that all available at our special election-related website, politicalresponsibility.com. And so we ask people to be attentive to that. Well, good. Thanks, Janet. We're going to mobilize people, as in past elections, for this election as well. And folks, it's part of the commission that Jesus gives us to go into the world to make disciples of all the nations and to teach them to carry out everything that he has commanded. This is part of our gospel response. This is not something that is just a response to some particular political party or candidate. And to help you more fully understand the dimensions of all of this, we have prepared this booklet, Voting with a Clear Conscience, 10 Things to Keep in Mind Before You Go Into the Voting Booth, and we'd like to send this to you completely free of charge, contact us at Gospel of Life so that this will be yours and it will help you and your church congregation or your pro-life group or your relatives, your co-workers, anybody to whom you can pass this along, help all of you to prepare for this year's elections. And finally, we encourage you to promote and to support our ministry. If you like the things that you hear on these programs, not only do we ask you to tell other people about the programs, but we ask you also send us a donation at Gospel of Life so that we can continue to spread this word. God bless you.
You are looking at the face of an unborn child, 25 and a half weeks into pregnancy. This child can be legally killed by abortion in America. As this ad from the Yellow Pages proves, some abortion clinics sell abortions up to 28 weeks. Abortion kills living children whose hearts are beating and whose bodily organs are all in place. Abortion. Haven't we gone too far?
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today. The Gospel of Life program is made possible by the supporters of Gospel of Life Ministries and Priests for Life. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of stopping abortion and providing post-abortion healing. Specific outreaches mentioned are examples of the programs conducted and supported. Gifts are considered to be without use restriction unless specifically stipulated by the donor.